Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of WashTec AG. At a customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Ralf Koeppe, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the presentation of the WashTec Group's 2020 financial year. With me here in the room are my colleagues, CFO Dr. Kerstin Reden and CSO Stefan Weber. Like last year, we are not able to meet personally to our annual press conference. Therefore, we combine the annual press conference and the analyst telephone call in one conference call. Next slide, please. To begin with, I would like to give you a brief overview of the topics we will cover in this call. I will start with presenting some COVID aspects of the year 2020, followed by news on innovation, digitalization, and company culture. Kerstin Reden will present the figures of the business year 2020 and the outlook for 2021. Finally, we'll have the Q&A session with the WashTec board. Let me summarize our business model to take everybody on board. WashTec is the world's leading provider of innovative vehicle washing solutions. Our product range includes capital goods, such as all types of car washing systems, with the associated peripherals and water treatment systems. In addition, we offer our customers the services and chemical consumables required to operate the system. We arrange financing and offer the management of operations if desired. Next slide, please. As a main task in the pandemic, health and safety of our employees and securing business continuation have been our priority number one in 2020 and will, of course, remain so in 2021. Beginning with the first lockdown in March 2020, all organizational units were reorganized to transfer the work in the digital domain. Where possible, we divided work areas into several teams that alternated between remote and office working. In this way, proactive steps were taken to ensure business continuity in the event of a COVID-19 outbreak. The high degree of flexibility in production already established in past years with variable working time accounts and temporary employment allowed us to adapt quickly. Only for a short amount of time, we had some part unemployment measures, Kurzarbeit in German, essentially one day per week for a period of 2 to 3 months. We secured financing and stepped up cost-cutting measures under the ongoing performance program, and the unpredictable path of the pandemic required frequent short-term adjustments like the continuous efforts to secure the supply chain. We implemented hygiene measures proactively and adapted immediately to the official regulations. We are currently ramping up a voluntary self-test program as an additional measure to the hygiene rules. Employees that work in the office and plants can test themselves twice a week. With this program, we align with the measures of the state of Bavaria for testing in schools that will start after the Easter vacation. Next slide, please. In the journal part of this year's annual report, we continue the presentation of our digital transformation journey. Over 5 years ago, we launched the first digital product to connect our machines to the cloud, with great benefit for our customers and our service. In 2020, we have enhanced our architecture. At the center of things, there's a technology which we call WashTec Insight, which can offer various forms of smart services for maximum convenience. All these services are smartly connected in MyWashTec. Operators of our car washes have full wash sales and performance data at their fingertips anywhere and anytime. With remote service, every operator has fast digital access to our experts, and our service has a real-time transparent view on the installed base of our customers. Based on our Easy Car Wash smartphone app, operators can offer flat rate washing, and customers can select their individual wash program and pay for it in a simple way. We focus on digitalization and innovation with one single goal, added value for our customers and their car wash users. Next slide, please. The annual report showcases customer testimonials of our digital product lineup. In 2020, we released the SmartCare in the European market. SmartCare is the world's first fully digitalized gantry car wash system. We have delivered a high double-digit number of machines to the market. Commencing last year, new car washes are connected online, ensuring that our service force have full status information and can better plan their deployments. The end of the year brought the market launch of the matching SmartSite product. This gives operators remote control of all car wash buildings and infrastructure components, the car wash equivalent to the smart home. The Easy Car Wash app, our solution for flat rate wash in the direct business, has been extended with functionality including additional payment methods. We continue to drive forward the digitalization of our business. We further focus on innovation in sustainability, addressing water use and water treatment as well as wash chemistry. The latter brings us to the next topic. Next slide, please. Today, more than ever, customers expect sustainable, environmental, friendly choices when it comes to car washing. In 2020, we reformulated the recipes of our premium cleaning products, Tex line, which set standards in the industry. As a part of this, we dispensed with petrochemical-based product components and replaced them with renewable raw materials without having to make any compromise on cleaning quality. We have delved deep into the formulas to satisfy the strictest green criteria and are well above the legal requirements. This is also continuously checked by the Institute SGS Fresenius for compliance. The result is called AUVA Green Car Care and marks another milestone on our road to sustainability. We support car wash operators with dedicated marketing and communication measures. Next slide, please. In the first week of fiscal year 2020, our company adopted several future-oriented strategic initiatives. These notably included initiatives on operational excellence, innovation, digitalization, and leadership and spirit, as well as others for the US and China as international strategy-focused markets. The management board team launched these initiatives to address strategic issues with a global approach, cutting across functions and hierarchies. Our aim is to create a work culture where employees make decisions in teams but also assume responsibility for them. They apply agile methods. The teams are coached by management. Particularly intensive work also went into measures to increase profitability on a long-term basis. An example for an excellent team result of the US initiative is the turnaround in the North America region despite the fall in revenue. Next slide, please. An important aspect of digitalization and digital transformation is networking and education. Last week, we hosted the Ideation Week of the University of Bayreuth with the topic, The Future Car Wash. For the first time, the format was executed as an online event, allowing 25 selected students of three universities, the University of Bayreuth, University of Augsburg, and University of Applied Science Augsburg, to participate. Just like a classic hackathon, the Ideation Week is all about one task, the digital transformation of the car wash business. The participating students looked ahead and developed ideas on what digitalization in the car wash business could mean. The students came from very different backgrounds and thus contributed to a range of perspectives. WashTech experts have been acting as coaches. The Ideation Week shows that what is possible within just 1 week by applying methods like design thinking or design sprint. We have seen great pitches, presentations, and have awarded the best ideas with attractive winner prizes. We strongly believe that such projects will contribute to WashTech's employer brand as a digital leader in our industry. I will now hand over to Kerstin Reden, CFO of WashTech, to present the figures of 2020 and the outlook of 2021. Thank you. Next slide, please.
Thanks, Ralf. Good afternoon, everyone. Looking back at 2020, we can clearly see the impact of the pandemic and the worldwide economic crisis on our results. For the full year, group revenue was 379 million euro, down 13% compared to prior year, we achieved group EBIT of 20.1 million and excluding one-time items of 25.6 million, a decline of 33% compared to last year. We were able to exceed our adjusted 2020 guidance published last July. Under the impression of the first wave of corona lockdowns, we updated our guidance, announcing a revenue decline of 15 to 20% and EBIT of 3 to 5%. As a result of a stronger than expected last quarter with installations carried out despite lockdowns, we delivered a full year adjusted EBIT margin of 6.8% and 5.3% including one-offs. Overall, we believe that we navigated effectively through the crisis with positive earnings supported by strict cost control and successful restructuring of our North America business. On cash, we delivered strong free cash flows with 37 million euro after lease expenses, up more than 5 times year over year. We were able to reduce our use of credit lines and decreased net debt by 35.5 million. Looking now at the revenue performance in more detail, you find this on page 11 of the presentation. For Q4 2020, revenue was 109.3 million in comparison to 127 million reported last year. In 2019, we had a record Q4, so that the 109 million delivered in 2020 for Q4 can still be seen as a decent result in view of the second wave of lockdowns. The main reason was the recovery of our direct business. During the second half of the year, order intake from direct customers gradually improved and was on prior year level for Q4. Concerning our key accounts, we experienced a diverging trend and an even stronger decline in Q4 compared to prior year and the prior quarter. Key accounts continued to be reluctant to invest, while the more flexible direct business came back, as car wash had proven to be an attractive investment opportunity, depending mainly on weather and less on kilometers driven. For the full year, revenue decline was 12.5% on constant currency basis. Moving on now to revenue by product on page 12. Revenue for machine sales was hit the most with a decline of over 15%. Service and chemicals were fairly stable in comparison to 2019. Management services were also affected by the crisis as the business partly depends on the willingness of customers to invest in new machinery. Regarding EBIT, we achieved an adjusted EBIT margin of 13% in the last quarter. This is close to the 14% delivered last year, demonstrating that our performance program was effective and the shortfall in revenue could be partly offset by cost reductions. I'm referring here and on the following pages on adjusted EBIT and not reported EBIT to be transparent and provide additional insights on the operating performance of the business. For the full year, adjusted EBIT was 25.6 million euro in comparison to 38.2 million reported last year. The main drivers of EBIT performance can be found on the next page, that is page 14. The impact of the revenue shortfall on adjusted EBIT was 32 million. We saw a positive effect of 3.9 million coming from margin improvements. Staff expenses adjusted for subsidies and restructuring declined by 6.7 million. Average headcount decreased from 1,880 down to 1,798, a reduction of 82 on average. Comparing headcount as per reporting date, headcount went down from 1,874 to 1,770, a minus of 104. Apart from staff cost reductions, less travel and entertainment expenses and less marketing costs also helped to offset part of the revenue decrease. on page 15, you'll find some background information on one-off items. In 2020, we reported in total 5.6 million in exceptional items. Restructuring costs for the transformation of the R&D department and other measures amounted to 1.8 million, and they're partly compensated by subsidies and government grants of 1.4 million. We also recognize an impairment charge of 5.2 million for intangible assets. This was the result of an updated projection on units to be sold and savings driven by the economic slowdown and foreign currency fluctuations. Regarding revenue development by region, this is on page 16. For the full year, Europe generated 305 million in revenue, down 13.6% year over year. During the first wave, during the second quarter, Europe was significantly affected with a decline of 24%. In the second half of 2020, order intake from direct business recovered and was close to prior year level towards the end of the year. In contrast to this, the US started with a very positive momentum into 2020, up 26% for the second quarter, and saw a significant impact of the crisis in the third and last quarter with a decline of over 30% due to investment reluctance from key accounts. Asia Pacific had a strong third quarter, however, slowed down towards the end of the year. Overall, Asia Pacific delivered a slight revenue increase up to 17.7 million euro. Coming now to adjusted EBIT performance by regions. For Europe, adjusted EBIT was 25.6 million, down 40% compared to prior year as a result of the revenue decline. In the US, adjusted EBIT improved from a loss position of minus 3.4 million into a positive earnings of 0.5 million. This result does not include income from the pay protection program. We applied for and received loans that may be waived if certain criteria are met. However, we have not yet received the final assessment. In Asia Pacific, EBIT increased 0.9 million to minus 0.4 million. In Australia, we successfully managed the turnaround, and in China, we had a positive momentum in Q3, however, faced market challenges in the last quarter. Continuing with our financial position on the next page, in 2020, we achieved free cash flows after lease payments of 36.9 million. This is an improvement in net debt of 35.5 million. We are in a very stable financial position and face no liquidity constraints during the crisis. That's why we propose to distribute fully the 2020 net income plus an additional dividend of €1.31 per share, in total €2.30 per share. The major driver of this exceptionally high cash flow can be seen on the next page. Our receivables declined 24 million, driven by lower business volumes. At the same time, we monitored our costs and investment closely, which contributed also to this good cash flow performance. There were two additional factors. We sold equipment that we managed on behalf of our customers to a customer, and secondly, we received loans from the US PPP program. Coming now to other KPIs on page 20. Net operating working capital declined from 86.3 million down to 80.7 million, mainly driven by the reduction in receivables. ROCE was 10.5%, reflecting the lower EBIT performance. Our equity ratio increased to 39% due to the positive net income and suspension of dividends. Concluding with our guidance for 2021. We are currently in the third wave of the pandemic and we still face high uncertainties regarding time and speed of recovery. That's why we decided to continue with our prudent approach. For 2021, we see stable revenue development with a growth rate of up to 3%. Because of our performance program, we expect to see a significant increase in EBIT for both adjusted and unadjusted EBIT. We also expect a significant increase in ROCE and a significant decrease in free cash flows as we don't have another one-time positive effect on working capital. With this, I'd like to thank you for your attention and hand over to the operator to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is by Eckhard Kult of Warburg Research.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of questions, if I may. Regarding your guidance, you are guiding stable sales. You pointed out that the guidance is prudent or cautious in the light of the corona crisis. What scenario is the basis for, let's say, unchanged sales? Is that something like a worst-case scenario, or how should we see that?
Okay. I can take the first question. Yes, it's a prudent, conservative approach, and we expect that the pandemic and the crisis continues throughout the year, and we don't see a V-shape recovery, but only a slow recovery. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Thanks. Then regarding your EBIT guidance, you have already given the answer to a question I otherwise had asked. This is based on the adjusted EBIT number. When I look on North America, you have generated a quite impressive result on adjusted level of 3.9 million and guiding for significantly better result this year. This would mean clearly above 4 million EBIT in 2021, right?
For the U.S., our adjusted EBIT is 0.5 million euro, and we excluded some subsidies here in Canada. We do expect a significant improvement, but your number is.
Okay.
High.
Okay. I've just seen I made a mistake. The deviation between 19 and 20 is 3.9 million. Okay.
Correct.
That's my fault. Okay.
That would be very optimistic, your number.
Then in today's release, you said that medium term, you want to return to a double-digit margin. Very probably, this means that this is not probable for the current year. My question is, what amount of revenues do you need for a 10% margin?
That is something that we can calculate with our numbers.
The thing is, we have discussed this, I think, half a year ago in.
Yeah. Right.
Summer.
But you have meanwhile made a lot of progress on the cost side, as we could see in the fourth quarter results. So this is why I asked this question again.
To give a more precise answer, we also would have to see how the whole supply chain also will work in 2021, to be more precise on that. We always said it will have to be above 400, maybe a little bit more also. But for the case, for this moment, we really take the prudent approach also to stay low on the cost side. And we will have to see quarter by quarter how this evolves. And maybe we have to resume the question in the Q1 call then.
Okay. And I can also, I think we can also assume that with a smart care, with a rising smart care business, also the product mix will improve going forward.
So also that what really helped is our performance program. As you can see, we significantly reduced the number of people. We also reduced our personnel expenses. And we do expect here a sustainable impact on our cost basis of 4 to 5 million. So that's generally the number that perhaps help you to answer your question. And additionally, we also expect that marketing costs will not go back to 2019 or prior year's levels, but that we also manage to have some savings here, although we will invest more in marketing compared to 2020. And travel expenses pretty much the same. At the moment, it's on a pretty low level. Hopefully, it normalized at some time, but we don't expect to go back to prior year levels. So we will also have perhaps savings of another 2 million coming from other areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I would like to get an impression, if possible, about the development so far in Q1, and maybe also what are you seeing regarding future investments of your key accounts? Has that improved meanwhile?
Okay, Q1, we will have not a very strong start into the year. It's a rather weak start into the year because of the weather conditions and because last year we still had 2 months without an impact of the pandemic. However, we are quite optimistic if you look at our order intake. So towards the end of the year, it was on prior year level. Now we see even that is definitely moving up into the other direction, it's better, and that will also help us then in the upcoming quarter.
Yeah, nothing to add. We have a Q1 call in a few weeks. We will be more precise on that. It's a little, the discussion as we refer it to is a quite difficult one because we look at 2020 and we have definitely a L-shape planned in. Operational-wise, of course, we prepare for other scenarios. It would be foolish not to, but that's our guidance, how it is. Yeah.
Okay, and then maybe some housekeeping questions. So I think I read that you want to invest more in 2021, depending from the possibilities with regard to Corona. It would be helpful if we could get a figure or a range here. And then regarding the tax rate, so it was quite fluctual over the last year. So in 2020, we had 29% tax rate. In 2019, we were at 38%. So also here, I would like to hear from you what is a normalized tax rate for WashTec? And then finally, you have included now the financial lease expenses in your cash flow statement to account for the free cash flow. It was some 8.6, 8.7 million negative over the last 2 years. Is that a figure we can also expect in 21 and for the subsequent years? Thank you.
Okay, the first question related to investments planned for 2021. So as we said, I think during the last quarter, we are going back to old levels, so around 6 to 8 million. What we can see at the moment is the plan depending a little bit also on the development in general. With regards to tax rate, with the positive result in the U.S., we are able to use NOLs. So that's actually the main reason for the improved tax rates, and because we plan to do that also in future, or expect that it's going to continue in future. the tax rate this year is more the tax rate that should also be seen in the future. I would say around 30%. And the last question with regards to lease expenses, which we included in our, or we plan to include now in our free cash flow definition. This is because of the IFRS 16 implementation in 2019. And with that, lease expenses or payment for lease liabilities were reclassified or had to be reclassified according to the standard setter from the operating cash flow into the cash flows from financing activities. And the free cash flow is normally what is available for dividends to be distributed and for net debt payments. That's why we decided to do this. And yes, the range you said, that is the range we also expect in the future. You just have to be careful. That's why I mentioned it with looking back. The introduction of this standard was in 2019. And impacted here the free cash flow.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question is by Richard Schran of HSBC.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a follow-up on your outlook statement concerning the key account business, where you obviously do not expect any positive development in the foreseeable future. So I would be curious why is that so? Because we heard already from you that last year this customer group was very reluctant to place new orders. How long do you think can they rely on this position not to invest in their installed base? I think we definitely do not talk about greenfield here, but it's more replacement cycle. So when do you think a sign could pop up here that things are changing? And then in this context, you said you would be prepared, of course, for such a reversal of demand and higher volumes. However, you just mentioned that you have reduced working capital, and also I think inventory is trimmed down more towards the lower end. But we hear that the supply chain is in many sectors a big problem at the moment. Don't you fear that this could then hinder you in taking part of any recovery in demand in the quarters to come, or have you built up some inventory levels already to be prepared with critical components, for example?
Schramm, thank you. We hand over the first question to Stefan Weber.
Yeah, hi, hello, this is Stefan Weber speaking. With regards to your key account question, I mean, what you will see and what was also indicated by my board members already is that in Q1 you won't see much impact from the key accounts. However, we are seeing significant, let's say, increase in order intake from the key accounts sector. I wouldn't say this is not overall, but quite a few have started to invest for the known reasons, because some of their equipment is getting too old, and they also can see that it might make sense to invest into car wash due to the fact that car wash is obviously almost crisis-proven. So it's a bit of a diverted answer. In Q1, maybe not yet, but we are pretty certain that in Q2 we'll see more of it because order intake from the key accounts has increased again.
So I take over the question two. The adoption of the supply chain in 2020 was hard work to ramp it down, and ramping it up, it's the same hard work. You know, so we don't see, let's say, we see extra efforts in there. We have to work on that to secure that. But we don't see a problem at the moment. But it's also additional effort that is going into the supply chain and securing that and also having the option to grow. It's, so the steady state is easy. changing the steady state from ramping down and also the same ramping up is work, and it's for us a good problem.
Perhaps more specifically, we do face inflated pricing, but so far we can manage the situation pretty well and only see at the moment minor impact.
On our weekly desk, even, you know, that's what you have, of course, to work. You know, you know, of course, from the press and so on, what's going on, and it's not a self-running thing.
Yeah. But you have not built up, let's say, some strategic inventory to above average levels at the moment for this reason?
We have started to do this in the first quarter, so we a little bit.
Yeah. To a certain extent, yes, but currently everybody, of course, is asking for things. The question is really to keep very tight contact to the suppliers.
Okay, thank you. And one question referring to Asia Pacific, which has been very resilient last year. Can we expect that this region will also show, in relative terms, outperformance in your portfolio in the current year, or was this just a kind of catch-up effect we have seen here in China, I assume mainly, and this will level off in the current year so that Asia-Pacific will fall back in relative terms again?
Stefan.
And, Stefan Weber speaking again. I mean, in what we can see, we will see continuous growth in, we'll see as a bit of a split image. As Kerstin already said before, Mrs. Reden, we had until Q2, Q3, we had, let's say, a constant growth. Towards the end of the year, there was a certain settlement. We will see continuous growth in Australia, whereby we are facing now, let's say, some challenges in the Chinese market in a sense that some, let's say, gas station operators are offering car wash as a, let's say, giveaway with fuel consumption, which has led to some, let's say, new challenges for us in the market, which we are now dealing with. So in Q1, I would say it is easy to say that China will be rather humble, whereas Australia will continue to grow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is by Alexander Hellitzer of Hauck & Aufhäuser. 1 second, please. Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much for taking the question. Could you maybe talk a little bit more in detail on the direct sales division? Considering, I think, the tough environment overall, you still seem to have delivered solid results in this segment. In the U.S., I believe you are even above the prior year. In Europe, the situation has normalized towards Q4. Do you feel like you have been outperforming the industry overall, if you have reliable data there? And if so, what do you think you can attribute it to? And maybe additionally, what is your level of confidence that the normalization that we see in the direct sales business should be rather sustainable going into the current financial year?
Stefan.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, to reason this, I mean, have we been outperforming the market? It's difficult to say at this point in time. I mean, I would say we have been in direct business from where we were some 5-6 years ago, over the couple of years, always been, let's say, growing faster than anybody else in the market due to the fact that we have, in the meantime, I would say, sales excellence at a level that is, I think, second to none in this industry for sure. So in other words, we have excellent market transparency in all relevant markets in terms of installed base. We are chasing the market the way it is. It should be chased. In other words, whenever there is machines due for renewal, we try to be the first to offer. And we have all these monitors centrally via our CRM systems and very strong KPI-driven sales excellence program. So I would say, a few examples have shown that being on front here and being the first one to know whenever there is something in the market that can be turned around and can be opened into business in some cases has proven that we have been faster than the competition. And we'll continue to do so because I think the excellent measures are in place. So in a sense, in relative terms, yes, we have always been outperforming. Did we particularly outperform in 2020 towards 2019 to the competition is difficult to say at this point in time. But we definitely, from our database, believe that we do, and we will continue to do. So in other words, with the excellence programs that we have started and in the meantime implemented, strongly implemented in the organization, we believe that we continue this going forward. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. Definitely, that's helpful. Then maybe another one on U.S. You've made great progress in this region, which is especially visible in Q4, where you have made $1.5 million EBIT on $18 million of revenue. I'm just wondering if there is a reason why one should not take Q4 as a reasonable guide for 2021, assuming that on average, every quarter in 2021 should have around about 17 to 18 million sales maybe, on which you would make then $1 or $2, $1.5 million EBIT per quarter, given your current right-sized cost structures in this region.
I mean, I'm a bit hesitant to make such a long-ranging, let's say, forecast in this call about the U.S. market, but I can say, yes, your perception is right. We have right-sized the business, which took us a bit of time and also some guts, I have to say, to go down to that level. And I would say, and plus we're seeing particularly also very good order intake now in Q1. So I would assume that Q1 will be not overwhelmingly good, but I continue your logic that from Q2 to Q3 we will see, I would say, a different U.S. performance than we have been seeing in 2019 and more towards the performance we saw in Q4 in 2020. I think that is sufficient precise, I would say.
Thank you very much. That's reassuring. And then maybe very briefly, if you could provide any insights into the U.S. turnaround, is that, you would say, primarily cost side driven, or is there something happening also on the gross margin side too?
It's a mixture of both, yes. I mean, very, very clearly so. I mean, we have been also lacking key account business in the U.S., so in a sense, we had to downsize the business. The downsizing and cost size is also sustainable because we are also still very careful at the moment in order not to onboard too much costs. We will do, of course, wherever necessary operationally. In other words, where we have output in terms of production or service or whatever is where we are. But in terms of overheads, we will be very careful going forward. And the other part is also, yes, due to the different product mix and also due to some measures on the margin, that means on the pricing, we have been also driving the margins in a positive way. It's a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And lastly, in terms of if you could somehow give an idea how much more severe was the decline in equipment business as opposed to services?
We don't really, exclude this data, but I think I want to go back to Q2 call, for example, in 2020. Service was performed throughout the whole year in Germany, but we had a lockdown in France, Spain, in Southern Europe. So definitely some of the service performance is missing out of this lockdown. We always said that. But
definitely the service, we had less decline, yeah.
Yeah.
So service was actually pretty stable.
That's what it means, yeah. We had a decline on the machine, and service is stable, but only in the southern country where we had the lockdowns. But you know from our data, looking at Q2 call and Q3 presentations, you can see at France, for example, how long the lockdown was, and for those times, 3-4 weeks period, we were not able to go to the customer. But this only is for Spain, Italy, and France, as we explained.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much. As a reminder, 01 on your keypad to ask a question. There are no further questions.
So thank you very much. So I think we can close the call. We are looking forward to meet you to the Q1 call in April. I think it's in April then. And so far, stay healthy and talk to you then. Thank you very much. Greetings from Augsburg.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.